sitting in this lonely town. I wonder when things are gonna change. Dreaming my life away, and it seems in dreams it turned into a bunch of dust clouds. Getting my nerve up, but my past is pulling me down. Wondering how long this black sheep here can stick around. Somebody told me once before, they said that you can never go home again. Once you leave, you'd take anything just to steer me away from the truth of who I am and what I believe. So I thank them for its 2 cents, with a shake and some sympathy. And I packed up my blue jeans and I headed for the big pie. I'm afraid I'm so bye-bye, black sheep of the family.
It's Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. Welcome to episode 4088. You can't run from who you are. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. Thanks for clicking play. You're listening to Martin Sexton from a 1996 record, Black Sheep. This is the title track.
Set it free. Free. Times the world are changing. I did just a little rearranging. And I take a couple chances. My progress in advances. Stars, steel bars, never will a prison cell make. Once I find that sweet home, or someplace I like to call home anyway. Some people say I'm crazy, singing out loud, like I do here on the street. When I got a song, bye-bye, oh, bye-bye to the black sheep of the family. Goodbye to my friends, and black sheep, you know you'll always mean so much to me. So my friends, you've been my family. Bye-bye, black sheep, I'm going off to sell my soul.
He is the talented Martin Sexton. 1996 Black Sheep. That's also the name of the song and the record. You can buy it at iTunes for $9.99 as I hit the record button. Probably at Google Play and other places as well. It's going to be a Martin Sexton intensive music in today's show, and I hope you enjoy it. I think you will. I mean, the man is, he's pretty stinking brilliant. When I was in high school, I read a book entitled My Shadow Ran Fast by Bill Sands. Here's what's posted over at Amazon about the book. Quote, who was Bill Sands? By his 19th birthday, he was doing 3 consecutive life terms in San Quentin. He admitted that he was on his way to committing murder if he hadn't been stopped. 30 years later, he was a successful businessman, a famous speaker, and the author of a best-selling book. Along the way, he had been a pilot, a boxer, a comedian, and a diamond miner. Bill Sands died in 1969, but he left behind as his legacy this exciting story of his life so that others may benefit from his incredible experiences. It's got some rough parts, but you should read it. My Shadow Ran Fast by Bill Sands. At some point, I had also read a story by Frank Abagnale, Catch Me If You Can. They later made it into a movie. I read it umpteen years ago when it first came out. And it was kind of a, you know, Frank Abagnale was this character, he's a con man. He pretended to be somebody other than who he was, but he was great at it. My Shadow Ran Fast by Bill Sands is a story of a guy who was trying hard to outrun the mistakes that he had made, hence the title. His shadow was running really fast to stay up with him. And it's also about the horrible experiences that he endured. Was he trying to run from who he was? Not really, but I think it could be argued that he was trying to outrun who he had become and what he had become. And he was trying to outrun his past. And it's about what happened to him. And so it kind of prompts the question of the hour. Who are you? Yeah, you. Who are you? Self-awareness is hard for most people. And I'm guessing, of course, that it is. I don't know that it is, but based mostly on my interactions with people, I think it's common for most of us to wonder some things about ourselves. And so we ask ourselves the questions, you know, what am I good at? What should I be doing differently? Where might I be able to best bring value to the world? Am I where I belong? Am I doing what I really should be doing, what I need to be doing? Is it more self-aware to ask those questions, even if you don't know the answer? Or is it more self-aware to just be clueless and never ask those questions?
You might have seen one down in Minnesota, or maybe down by the sea in Sarasota. They were made back in Worcester, Mass, of aluminum, Bakelite, and glass. Like a locomotive, they were streamlined. And the blueprints were drawn up from a dream of mine, yeah. Slap them up, put them on a train, out of Michigan up to Maine, ah, ooh. Give me $500 down to Georgia, Carolina, up to 20 by the pigweed, near the country out of Waynesboro. When it's getting late and rainy out in New York City, you hang a Louis off a theory and you go and grab yourself a cheeseburger at a little Jim diner. Off 6 Niner, diner, my shiny, shiny love. And the night you're all I'm thinking of. Diner, my shiny, shiny love. The cruiser pulls in where the troopers always stop.
The song is Diner, and it's from that exact same record, Black Sheep. 1996, Martin Sexton. Catchy, right? I like it.
She always squints by the gum and the bowl, and she's tapping her toe to the Dean Martin on the consulate. Booth service and a cigarette, we're laughing at so. Side of a dollar, I had a picture, 95 root before the Pepsi, and I should have saved room for some apple pie. La la di da dilly do, scab it up at the dee, la da dee lo die. Better make it all a mo. Diner, my shiny, shiny love. And the night you're all I'm thinking of.
down there, my shiny, shiny love. Rest his soul, talking to me from the cereal bowl. There's a couple from the show me state, knocking back a little meatloaf plate. Down there, my shiny, shiny love. Down there, my shiny, shiny love. Down there, my shiny, shiny, shiny love. Chicken and biscuits with a side of gravy.
Peach cobbler.
And you don't realize it. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But when we kind of morphed the podcast and began to do it the way that I'm doing it today, there's a lot going on here, more than you think. And some of it is subtle. And I think this part is maybe the most subtle thing. And I don't know how many of you pick up on it, but the musical interludes, well, let me ask it as a question. What are you thinking about during the musical interludes? Do you remember what I said right before the music started? You may or you may not. And you know, it's really by design to kind of, to just take us away. Well, if for only a moment, and to just don't think. I'm really fond of the whole notion of trying to be able to embrace these, albeit brief, moments where we don't think, because like you, I can probably tend to overthink things, and it can be difficult to turn your mind off and just kind of quieten the noise down so that we can really make some progress with ourselves. So right before that last tune, is it more self-aware to ask ourselves these questions about ourselves, or are we better off just being completely thoughtless and kind of brain dead, and we don't think about them at all? Well, of course, we've got to ask ourselves the questions. We know the answer to all that. Listen, if you're driving, don't do this. Wait until you're not driving. Or if you're on a treadmill, you're obviously not going to be able to do this. Open up a Word document, open up Evernote, open up OneNote, whatever your favorite writing tool may be. Hey, it could be a notebook and a pen. I'm kind of preferential to notebooks and pens and paper, and you know, but hey, I'm like Joe Walsh. I'm an analog guy in a digital world. Just don't overthink it. And that's why I kind of bring up the whole musical interlude and this, you know, let's think about it. Let's really wrestle. Let's grapple with it. No, let's don't do that. Let's don't overthink it. In fact, I don't want you to think much about it at all. I just want you to write. So if you're driving while you're listening, if you're working out, if you're mowing the lawn, whatever you're doing that prevents you from doing this, then please wait and, you know, just hit pause right now. Come back to the podcast later and do this when you can sit down, because I'm going to ask you some questions, and without thinking too much about it. In fact, try not to think about it at all. Just go with your gut. Jot down the first thing that crosses your mind. So I'm going to ask you, I don't know, it's not 10, it's maybe 8 questions or so. I didn't count them. So you ready? You got your Evernote open. You got your OneNote open. You got whatever. You got Word open, or you got a pen and a paper. It doesn't matter. Here's the first question. I just want you to write down the first things that pop into your mind. Here's the first one. What are you doing when you feel the most energy? What are you doing when you feel the most energy? Go ahead, just write. And you can click pause, obviously, because, hey, it's a podcast, so I'm going to keep going. Here's the second question. What are you doing when you feel, this isn't that hard for me? What is it that you're doing when you feel, this isn't that hard for me? Next, who are you with when you feel energy draining from you? Who are you with when you feel energy just escaping you? Who are you with when you feel energy is filling you? Who are you with when you feel energy is coming into you. What are you doing when you feel, this is really hard for me? What is it you're doing when you feel, this is really hard for me? You're doing good. Come on. We got four more. What makes your hands sweat? What makes your hands sweat? What happened to make you last laugh out loud? When you last laughed out loud, what prompted that? What happened to make you last cry? And the last one, it's a multiple choice. You ready? Pick one. The past, the present, or the future?
I will always love you. Uncertainty, I love you. Your spacious skies, I love you. I'll find new ways to love you. All these miles of ghostly west, the hope is lost to Spain. You now belong to me, I'm the American. I could be a cowboy or just a hired hand. Twisters come in April and rearrange the land. Pick me up and throw me west, 1,000 miles from home. Dreaming up my fix, I'm the American.
From his 1998 record, The American. And yes, this is the title track. Again, his name is Martin Sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N.
She said she'd leave the back door open tonight. 3 weeks' pay will keep me off the wrong side of the law. I'm dreaming of my fix, getting somewhere quick. I'm the American.
All right, did you answer the questions? I hope you did. And if you didn't, then go back. Come on. Play nice. This is intended to help you. So there were 9 questions. And the last one was easy because it was multiple choice. That ought to be enough to get you going. In fact, well, it might be enough to just stop you dead in your tracks. That's not my goal. I don't want that to happen. I want to urge you to keep digging and just dive as deeply as you'd like in answering the questions about who you are. There's a pretty terrific exercise that I was exposed to some months ago called the I Am poem. I'd never heard about this before, but it's pretty stinking brilliant. Just Google it. just Google the phrase, Google I am, two words, I am poem. Poem is the third word. Yes. Google it and you'll see quite a few of them online. It's not a complicated exercise, but it's worth putting in a few minutes to write your own version. So yeah, don't put the pen and paper away just yet. Don't close the Evernote or the OneNote just yet. You need to put in a few minutes to write your own version of the I am poem. You might start by writing something like this. I'm from, and then name your grandparents, their first names, and then maybe your parents' names. And then just write whatever comes to mind, including your city, your state, the area of the world, food favorites, scenery of your childhood, favorite toys, the food, the music, anything else that you can think of. And be specific, be detailed, but be concise, be brief. This isn't going to be some long diatribe. For example, part of my I am poem included these details, and they're specific, but they're brief. And this will just give you a sense of it. I am fried okra, chicken fried steak, and homemade rolls. Now that tells you something specific about me. I know people who have written their I am poem, and they may say, I am frozen TV dinners, microwave popcorn, and canned soup. It's a completely different set of details than mine, right? Now, don't waller around with this. Again, don't overthink this. I would encourage you to set aside 10 to 15 minutes. Don't labor on it any more than that. In fact, 10 minutes would be plenty. Set aside about 10 minutes and write this down. Now, my personal preference on this exercise is to write it out in longhand. I mean, there's just something more powerful about writing it out in your own hand versus typing it out on a keyboard. I don't know if it's a tactile kind of a thing or if it's psychological, mental ownership. Yeah, I don't know. Hey, do as you please. I'm merely making the suggestion to write it out longhand.
You never freaked before, and out there freaking is uncool. But do you, I know there's so much more. Like, where is that sassy child? And where is that girl's next trip? Why you been keeping your green eyes shut and your pretty mouth zip? Angeline, come to me, come please talk to me. Don't you hide, come show me your beautiful side.
It's from a 2000 record, Martin Sexton. The name of the record is Wonder Bar. The name of the song is Angeline.
I'm gonna snip, gonna dig. I'm just trying to find what's up with that. Like it's making you crazy. Living it by the answer machine. Open up, sweet child. Unfold your arms for me, Angeline.
Angeline,
come to me.
Come to me.
Come please.
Come please.
Talk to me.
Talk to me.
Don't you hide.
Don't you hide.
Come and show.
Come show.
Show me.
Show me.
Big, big beauty, your beautiful side. I've been your brother and your sister. I've been your loser. I've been your man.
Well, I'm wanting you to show your big, beautiful side. Okay, maybe it's not all beautiful. I mean, getting to know ourselves can be some of the toughest work on the planet. And knowing yourself is a tall, tall order for many of us. You know, other people, they seem to have a grasp of who they are. They just don't seem to have any trouble just going with it. You know, they don't resist it. They don't fight it. They don't try to be somebody else. That seems rare. Well, based solely on my experience with people.
Don't you hide? Come and show, show me. Yeah, yeah, it's me, Angeline. Oh yes, it is, child. I'm a he for the duration.
Name of the record is Wonder Bar. Name of the song is Angeline. I think this one, too, is $9.99 at iTunes. It was a 2000 record by Martin Sexton. Yes, he is the artist of the hour. Here in today's episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom, I have featured him before because I like him. I just, what can I say? I like him. I like his stuff. You should too. I know more people who I think wrestle with knowing themselves than people who really have a great sense of who they are and are already comfortable with who they are. It just seems to be rare to find the person who's just, you know, they've got it, right? They've just got it nailed. I'm not saying they don't exist. They do. But they do seem to be the outliers. Instead, I seem to encounter people who feel like they're posing as somebody else. And quite often, even very accomplished, very capable people, leaders of organizations, feel in their heart like they're fooling the world. And in these quiet moments, they will confess to a litany of insecurities and anxieties and even paranoia. And what it proves is the same thing that the I Am poem proves. We're all human. We've all got stuff. We've got baggage that weighs us down. Some of us have extra large bags that weigh so much that any airline would charge us the maximum amount. And others of us, well, we just have some small carry-on bags that can fly free. It just depends. Am I what I do? Am I what I do? Many years ago, I knew a person who would readily admit that he lied. And he would sometimes say, you know, I just can't help it. And the odd thing is, he didn't consider himself a liar. Well, that baffled me. How can you lie and admit that you lie and not consider yourself a liar? But that's exactly what he was. It's who he was. How could he not be? I mean, it's what he did habitually. Yes, we are what we do. Our behavior helps determine who and what we are. Yeah, sure. It could be argued that it works in reverse as well, that who we are drives our behavior. I could argue, okay, was the liar, is he lying because that's who he is, or is he a liar because he tells lies? Yeah, okay, six, one half dozen the other. What difference is there really? Is he lying because that's who he is, or is who he is prompting him to lie? I don't think there's any difference, really. Maybe it's a viewpoint. I mean, it's like a person who habitually cusses like a sailor. Their speech is driven by their thinking, okay, and maybe their emotions. It's possible that it could also be driven from habits that they have formed that they never attempted or they don't even desire to break. Maybe their parents cussed a lot. It fuels itself, though, doesn't it? I mean, it's just like the liar. The more lies that he would tell, the more of a liar he proved himself to be. Because just like any other behavior, lying begets lying, just like cussing begets cussing. Now, it can work in positive things as well. I mean, there's an old adage, writers write. Writers write. You can apply that to any endeavor. Just pick a noun and follow it with one verb. Painters paint. Carpenters build. Engineers engineer. Salespeople sell. Because we are largely what we do.
One, two, three, and four. I wanna be careful. I wanna say this right. I never felt this way from just one night. I got a feeling I never felt before. You kissed me in my truck. Now I'm so much more. So have some cake with me by the lake. We'll see. I fill your coffee cup. We'll watch the sun come up. Talk about the long haul. I've been here for the long haul. Baby, I want it all. Well, I fancy myself and demands me. You touch me in a spot I never knew I had. My upstate pride is melting away like the Saranac snow in the month of May. No other face I see ever interests me. You flip me upside down. I gotta have you round for the long. Phase, babe, I want it all, too sweet and sour, and a box full of candy and flowers. Baby, I'm on my knees, say yes, yes, yes to me. I'm talking to you. I never knew that I didn't know, but now I do, and so we got a choice to make, baby. I got the full tank of biofuel, and I thank you in advance not to be cruel, cause if you choose.
It's from his 2010 record, Martin Sexton. Name of the record is Sugar Coating. Name of the song is Long Haul, and it too is $9.99 at iTunes and Google Play.
Please, please, I'm talking about the long haul. Want you for the long haul. No passing phase, I want it all. I'm in it for the long haul. Baby, I want you all. It's long, long haul. I ain't gonna lie to you, girl. I want you for the long haul.
Long haul. That's what we're here for. That's what leaning toward wisdom is all about. It's there's no specific time element to this. It doesn't matter what your age is, if you're young or you're old. It doesn't matter if you feel like you've got a lot of years left or you feel like you don't have too many years left. This is all still a long haul play, because you and I both know whatever improvements, whatever changes we hope to make in our life, we can start today. Good news, bad news scenario. We can start right now. Bad news, you'll never be able to stop. I mean, you just got to keep on doing it. It's a long haul play. What do you do habitually? And maybe better asked, when is the last time you closely looked at your habits and your behaviors? Ever? Because self-awareness requires some time spent with ourselves. And that sounds strange, but you know it's true. Now, we live with ourselves 100% of the time. It can't be helped. But maybe we spend most of that time not thinking too much about who we really are or what we really are. Maybe we're focused mostly on what we want, what we don't have, who we want, who we don't have, and a ton of other desires. I mean, just think about how we get to know other people. What we know about others is not based entirely on what they say or what they tell us. Now, our communication, our conversations with them, it helps, but it's really just a small part of the story. It's really just a small part of their story. No, what we do is we pay attention to how they behave toward us. We pay attention to how they behave toward other people. We watch their interactions. We pay attention to how they act, how they speak, and we get some sense of what's important to them. And over time, basically, we learn how they roll. And the more we get to know them, the more we get a true sense of who they really are. And that's what fuels us to either draw closer to them or pull further away from them. Because conscious or not, we're paying close attention to them. And that's often our weakness with self-awareness. It's hard to pay that close attention to our own lives. It seems crazy, but you know it's true. We're looking from inside our head when we look at ourselves. And that's just a single perspective that can sometimes jade us. We're looking from a different perspective when we're looking at our friends, at our family, at even brand new acquaintances, right? It's far more objective than when we're looking at ourselves. As a podcaster, I've grown accustomed, for instance, to listening to my own voice. Right now, as I'm recording this, I've got headphones on. I can hear my voice, and I've kind of gotten used to my own voice either through recordings or through these headphones. Most people aren't used to that, though. No, instead, they're used to hearing their voice through their own head, through their own ears. And it's just a different sound. And so whenever they hear a recording of themselves, and you'll hear people, 100% of the people will say this, who are not used to listening to themselves, when they hear a recording, here's what they all say. That doesn't sound like me. And meanwhile, everybody else in the room who's listening to that same recording, we all look at them and go, yeah, it does. It sounds exactly like you. Well, you know what's happening there. We don't have a true sense of ourselves. We don't have a true awareness of how we really sound because, well, we're not used to listening to ourselves that critically. Okay, well, ditto for all the other areas of our life. I mean, take how we eat. Pet peeve. It drives me crazy to sit at a table with somebody who eats with their mouth open. Hey, all you got to do is ask my grandkids. I mean, regularly we'll be sitting at a table or at home or in a restaurant, and I will tell them, close your mouth when you chew. Well, they don't know they're doing it. I know grown adults who do it, but don't have a single clue that they're doing it.
Last night I had a crazy little dream. Craziest dream that I ever did dream. All around the world they were all holding hands. all the little children, the women and the men, singing, I don't know, where does it end? I don't even know where it began. Followed my angel down the crazy river, to where I know the water is dirty and dark and it runs so cold. She told me, cast out your will, and then said, cut the line. With the trust of a child, well, I knew it'd be alright. Even though I don't know, does it end? I don't even know where it begins. Oh, where it begins. And I'm never quite sure, but I know in the end, oh, won't you tell me so?
It's from the 1998 record, The American. The American. The name of the song is Where It Begins. And for all of us, you and I both know where it all began. It began in our childhood. Yeah, okay. You may not want to go there, but you probably should. Listen, think about it. If we can't get a true picture of how we're chewing our food or how we sound when we talk, I mean, come on, these are really basic things, then it's no wonder that we often fail to really have the self-awareness that we could with things that matter more. I mean, self-awareness, I mean, it would serve us. Man, it would so serve us to be happier, to be more accomplished, to be more content. Figure out what we need to do to become a better version of ourselves. And while it may have begun in childhood, it really begins with this. It really begins with us coming to grips with who we are, knowing ourselves better.
It begins. Oh no. And I never doubt. Oh no.
Now, all of this is harder. I'm going to say it. All of this is harder because of the vastness of the internet. And it's not because we're creators. It's because we're consumers. Months ago, I opened up my iTunes and I was looking through all the many podcasts that are in my iTunes podcast directory. These are podcasts that I was subscribed to. Now, I realized there were a lot of them that I just wasn't listening to. In fact, many of them I hadn't listened to an episode in a very long time. And so I just began methodically going through and deleting them, unsubscribing to them. And maybe that's where it started. Because I realized that over time, I had begun not thinking for myself. Yeah. Do you ever have that epiphany? I mean, we're consuming so much stuff, and yet we're not spending enough time with our own thoughts to develop our own thoughts, even opinions. I caught myself listening more to what other people were saying than I felt like I should, than I felt like was being helpful. And I was spending far less time writing my own story. A big objective, and I know this is a big objective, and I'm not declaring that I'm hitting the objective, but I'm trying. Part of the objective here is for me not to impose my story on you or any wisdom that I have found. Mostly, I want to provoke you. I want to provoke you to think. I want to provoke you to come to terms with things. I want you to come to terms with some self-awareness. I want to be a guy helping provoke you to do your own thing and craft your own story. And being who I am, who I most want to be, while at the same time being congruent with my worldview, my values, my faith, my convictions, my strengths, that's the deal. But man, it's hard in an internet age, isn't it? With all of the noise and all of the stuff coming at it. Last week, I created a graphic. If you want to see it, you can go over to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Just find episode 4088, and if you scroll down, you'll see this this graphic that I created, and I shared it on social media, and it was mainly a message that I was telling myself. I wasn't preaching to others. I was preaching to myself, and here's what it says. You're dead the second you start listening to outside noise. Well, I did it because I had learned the truth of that the hard way. Too many people telling me that I needed to do this, I needed to do that. Well, if you don't do this, it won't work. I mean, all kinds of noise driving me to distraction. And yes, I confess, driving me to self-doubt. And for weeks, I let it wreck me because I finally woke up and realized, you know, people are trying to get me to be somebody I'm not. And the reason it wrecked me is because it just didn't feel right. I mean, I had always felt like I had a reasonable degree of self-awareness, and honestly, I did. And now I was beginning to think that I had lost my mind. You ever feel that way? I certainly felt like I'd lost my perspective. You know, but really not so much, because my conclusion was what had really happened is none of those things had really happened. I was still very much in touch with who I was and what I was. But instead, what was happening is I had allowed too much noise to enter my head and elevate my anxiety. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to stop up my ears. And I just made up my mind, no more. In fact, I even told people to their face that I wasn't interested in their input, not interested in your perspective. And the more well-intended they are, the harder it can be to shut them up. You can mark it down. And just because they say they're well-intended does not mean that they're right. You need to remember that. I mean, there's a big reason why you have to get in touch with who you really are. I'm not talking about trying not to improve, that having no effort and getting better. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about congruency. Yes, we all need to try to improve. We all need to get better. But I'm really talking about congruency. I'm talking about being genuine. I'm talking about soaring with your strengths and not being distracted with your weaknesses.
Like the choir on Sunday morning, sweet and true.
from a 2007 record entitled Seeds. The name of the song is Happy. And yes, he is Martin Sexton. You know, people who can do something easily, I think, are often driven crazy by those of us who just can't do it so easily. Or we can't do it at all. Or we can't do it well. I mean, I'm fascinated, for instance, by people who can pick up an instrument, a musical instrument, and they can learn to play it all on their own. I know people. I know people who can do that with apparent ease. Well, you just might as well ask me to build a spaceship. I just do not have that ability. And asking a person like that to teach a person like me would absolutely frustrate the soup out of them and me, because neither one of us would make it. I mean, they'd kill me or I'd want to kill them. And that's just how it is with people that, you know, they've just got this strength, this thing that they can do, this what Sir Ken Robinson calls the element, where their passion and their natural aptitude intersect. That's their element. They're in their element. Well, you know, me, I'm a fish out of water. Happy by Martin Sexton. You know, one reason that I incorporate so much music here is because these are the kind of people that really fascinate me. These people that have the skill set that guys like Martin Sexton do, and these people who it comes natural. It just comes naturally to these people. And I'm just fascinated by it. I know there's lots of other pursuits, but being a music hound that I am, that's my sharing. That frustration that we can sense if we're naturally good at something and we're trying to help somebody else who isn't, and we're trying to help them in that thing, or if we're the student and we're trying to learn something that just comes so easily for other people. Listen, we often do that with each other. And so people will tell you, well, you should do this. You ought to do this. You hear that all the time. I hear it all the time. Well, what you ought to do is you ought to do this. People are full of advice, and maybe you should, maybe not. Now, there are some basic truths in skills and in tactics. I mean, for instance, if you're going to drive a car safely, there are some things that you should do. You should make sure that the mirrors are adjusted so you can see clearly. You should make sure to wear your seatbelt. You should make sure that you stay off the phone. You should pay attention to your speed and the road conditions. But sometimes the advice that people give it goes way beyond that. I keep my left foot. Now, I drive a manual transmission, a 6-speed. I keep my left foot over to the left on the floorboard because my car has this place for the driver's left foot. And it's comfortable for me. And it's what I'm used to. And I've done it. I've always driven manual speed cars all of my life. And I've always... That's where I put my left foot. I know drivers who put their left foot directly in front of the brake pedal on the floorboard. Now, there is no way that would be comfortable for me. But I would be imposing my own driving style to tell them, don't put your left foot there. It belongs all the way over to the left against the kick panel. And so sometimes... people often go from what's correct to meddling. And sometimes they confuse the two.
Take two, one, two, three, four.
You see my car keys on the table, my traveling boots out on the floor, that shoe peeking around the corner, looking at my bags back by the door. And while I have to say goodbye, when I come home and you're surprised, yeah, we're gonna drive your mother crazy. Yeah, now the grass will grow and the wheels make change direction, but child, I need you to know that the love I have is always set in stone. Set in stone.
This is from his latest record, and when I'm gone, Mixtape of the Open Road. Name of the song is Set in Stone. In fact, if you want to hear more of this record, and if you want to hear what I thought was a good episode, because I used a line from a Martin Sexton song, and it was episode 4054. So if you care to, yeah, go back. It was last year. In fact, it was a year ago. Episode 4054, the title of the episode was Selling Pencils in a Ballpoint World. Gotta love it, don't you? Selling Pencils in a Ballpoint World, episode 4054. And it featured music from this very record, his latest record, Mixtape of the Open Road. Name of this song is Set in Stone. And sometimes our advice is set in stone. We know what we know, and sometimes we try to impose that on other people.
Never be alone now. Love is set in stone. Now as the highway rolls, your love gives me sense of direction. Child, I need you to know, when I'm far away from home, you never really be alone, 'cause the love we have is set in stone. Set in stone.
This is all important, all of it, because it relates to who we are, who we know ourselves to be, and who we most want to be. And I don't want you to lose sight of that, who you most want to be. It's not for others to decide. And it's also why you can't outrun your shadow. You can't run from who you really are. Now, people are trying. Millions of people are trying every single day by being somebody that they aren't. Maybe they're trying to emulate their favorite hero. Maybe they're following their favorite guru. I mean, we're influenced by a lot of people today, and we probably in this internet age are influenced by more people than ever before. And sometimes, to be fair, we're influenced by people that probably shouldn't have influence over us. And sometimes we're influenced to try hard to be like other people. We need good, wise influences in our life. I hope I'm a good influence to you, but I'm not encouraging you to be like me. Sure, I believe in some basic qualities that I think we should all incorporate into our lives. It's kind of like those driving things that we all need to practice and obey: honesty, integrity, candor, compassion, empathy, faith. Now, unfortunately, that's not where most of us are influenced. We're influenced in things like style. We're influenced in things like personality. We're influenced in things like opportunities. The introvert wishes that he weren't, and so maybe he admires the extrovert. The person who lacks a formal education may envy the person who has advanced degrees. The person who struggles to communicate may be jealous of the person who just seems to do it with ease. On and on it goes. But we've got our own story. We've got our own history. We've got our own bags. And then there is our DNA. There's our heritage. Take me, please. I'm not a man of few words. I'm a communicator. I'm strong in empathy. I can easily sense what others are feeling and thinking. Side note here, I have been advised. I love this. I have been advised by people. You be careful about that empathy. Now, you know who says that to me? Yeah, people who don't have the empathy that I've got. It's a strength. And for people to try to look at me like, well, that's, you know, that can really work against you. Yeah, okay. You can just take that and just step off over there on that, off that cliff over there, because I'm not going to listen. Because I think empathy is an enormous, hey, it's a superpower. It's one of my few. I don't have many. So for people to try to rob me of my superpower, I mean, come on. You don't tug on Superman's cape. I'm highly intuitive. My emotional intelligence is strong. It's high. And I pay attention to details. I notice things. I often notice things that other people never pay attention to. And those are just three elements of who and what I am. I can no more change or alter those things than I could grow hair on my head. It's in my DNA. I could spend time fretting about it or trying to be something other than those things. And you know what? It would be a colossal waste of time, and it would be enormously frustrating for me.
How's about a cup? Not coffee, okay, tea, that's fine with me. Meet at 8:15, all right, 6:30's fine, just be with me.
It's old school. It's from The American, a 1998 record. The name of the song is Diggin' Me, and I'll let it kind of play us out here. Hey, why run from it? You're never going to be the best version of yourself by running from who you are. I want to urge you to consider running toward who you most are. What if you ran toward being the best version of who and what you are instead of running from it? What if I ran toward being an even better communicator? Well, guess what? I'm doing that. What if I ran toward being even more empathetic than I already am? What if I embraced my intuition and worked harder to be even more intuitive? What if you ran toward who you most are and what you most are? Do you think it would move you closer to becoming a better version of yourself? Or do you think trying to be something that you aren't is going to make you an improved version of yourself? You know the answer to that. Now, to be fair, remember that liar that I told you about? He's behaving poorly. It's damaging to him. It's damaging to... He does not need to resign himself to the fact that he's a liar. No, he doesn't see himself as a liar. That's how deluded he is. Instead, he just uses the excuse, well, I can't help it. I mean, it's like we're all supposed to just overlook it as though it was something beyond his control. No, he needs to handle that. He needs to correct that, because we're not talking about a preference or a style or a personality trait or an opportunity. We're talking about choosing to behave poorly. It's an excuse. Don't embrace any bad behavior. Don't embrace poor behavior with a belief that it's just who you are. Wrong. You may be an alcoholic, you may be a drug addict, but it's not profitable. You need to kick that, because that's poor behavior and it's not making you a better version of who you are. It's crippling, it's diminishing who you really are or who you could be. No, get the help you need. You deserve it. And don't fool yourself. Don't rob yourself of what's possible, even probable. You need to make the changes necessary so you can stop running from and start running to. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is Leaning Toward Wisdom. You've just heard episode 4088. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.
I'll be your radio tower. Oh, it's my lucky day. I am here to stay with you. I'm digging me, digging you, digging me, digging you. I'm digging me, digging you, digging me, digging you. Yeah, yeah. Digging me, dig me, digging you.
Let's play one more track. You knew I would. It's from a 1990 record by Martin Sexton. The name of the album is In the Journey. And the name of the song, appropriately, it's a great song to go out on. The Way I Am. the way I am. I hope that you're, I don't know, I hope that you're gaining something from the podcast. I'd love to hear from you if you are. I'd appreciate it if you just go over to the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Use social media, use the contact page if you want. If you want to send me something more private, I don't know. I need some feedback. All right. I'm in a mood. I need some feedback. No, I'm not looking for confirmation about anything. Well, that'd be nice if it's true. I don't want you to lie to me. Tell me what I can do to be better, to provide more value to you. Tell me if I'm providing any value to you, even if the value is just, hey, you're exposing me to some cool music that I wouldn't have heard otherwise. That's cool. I can live with that. So I'm going to take you out with this one by Martin Sexton. Again, the name of the song is The Way I Am. Have a good one.
The other night I had a crazy dream about a man in a fishing hat. He was selling magazines. On the way from Kingston, he had worked his way down. And I bought him a drink on the night they kicked him out of town. He said, you know, I don't like the way I am. No, no, I don't like the way I am. And I saw an old fisherman out swaying on the dock, swinging a jug of something and a string of fish that he had caught. His wife had left him just a week before. She packed up her bags and she waltzed on out the door. And she said, you know, I don't like the way I am. Oh, no. You know, I don't like the way I am. And then she cried right out loud. She sang, yay, low, yay, yay, low, yay, yay, low, yay, yay, low, yay. You and me walk down the shores of our youth, chasing the sunrise and challenging the truth. It's all so distant now, I've seen too many lies, turning my vision into crumbling demise. Oh, you know I don't like the way I am. I don't like the way I am. No, no, no. But you know, I'm gonna change the way I am. Oh, yes, I am. I'm gonna change the way I am right now. Hear me cry. Let's sing. The night I had a crazy dream about a man in a fishing hat. He was selling old magazines. All the way from Kingston, he had worked his way down. And I bought him a drink on the night they kicked him out of town. He said to me, he said, you know, I don't like the way I am. Just like that. But I'm gonna change the way I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna
change the way I am.
And he played a song for me.